prayer this morning. Jeff, it's good that you welcome everybody here, and we're glad that you did that. And surely we're grateful for the reading of the Scripture by Al Burns and all of you being here. What a joy it is to be worshiping together, isn't it? Aren't you glad you're here? I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Boy, I just can't comprehend what a feeling it must be like when people can't go and worship the Lord. We surely are thankful that you're here today. Those of you that have been sick and you're better now, I want you to know that we're all praying for you. We're going to keep on praying. And Jacqueline last night, sure was good to know about her being baptized into Jesus Christ. We welcome you as a sister in the Lord. You and JJ just wish you the very best in life. God bless you. And Mr. Matt Taylor baptized her last night and does a great job. We're so fortunate to have so many people that are willing to do what God wants them to do. I want to share with you this morning a lesson from the Word of God concerning the Holy Spirit. Boy, have I studied. And I want you to pay attention. I hope and trust and pray that at least it will help you to understand. Remember this. When the Lord said to His apostles, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Let me tell you, that's John 16:13. That's why I'm thankful that the O'Neill Church wants me, when I get up here to preach the Bible, the Word of God. Why, when you turn to the Word of the Lord, you find Paul. He said, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, and He was crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. In 2 Corinthians 4:5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul, what are you doing? I'm preaching. What are you preaching? I'm preaching what the Holy Spirit told the apostles. And I'm one of those apostles. And whatever I'm told by the Spirit of God, that's what I'm going to preach. Now, you've heard us say this from Brother. People have been here days before. What did they tell you? They want you to preach the Word. 2 Timothy 4:2. What all I know about the Holy Spirit comes just from God. I've chosen a number of passages in the Bible this morning. And I hope that it will help all of us to have a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit really is. And as Al read 1 John 5:1-8, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Can't believe that unless you know about it. And the only way you're going to know about it is that the Spirit led those to write these things down. And we believe them because they are from the Holy Spirit of God. Now read it further. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Because those commandments tell us to love one another. For this is the love of God, that we do what? That we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. And I say all that to say this. When brethren today get up and tell you, oh, we do a lot of things not according to the pattern, that we can do a lot of things. Friend, if there is a single thing that we do that is not in the pattern that's given to us from God, we better quit doing it. Making sure that we do everything and keep the commandments that God has given us. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous, not heavy. He's told us what He wants us to do. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We believe. Believe on the basis of what has been revealed. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You'll never be able to overcome the world without that faith. This is the means of doing it. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water. He was baptized too, in water. But also by blood. He shed his blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. God's Spirit, which is called the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as we have in the King James Version. The Holy Spirit is from God, is in the Godhead, and He is a divine personality. And notice there's three things that John tells us. In heaven today, there are three that bear record up in heaven. Who are they? The Father, the Word who came flesh and dwelt among us, John 1, verse 14, and that is Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. They're three persons, but they're all together. They are in unity. They agree together. This is borne out in the next verse. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, who tells us to be baptized, and Jesus' blood then cleanses us from all of our sins. And these three agree in one. So you have then, from the Word of the Lord, something about the Holy Spirit. Why study about the Holy Spirit? What is the personality of the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit a part of the Godhead? What was and is the work of the Holy Spirit? What is meant by the promise of receiving the Holy Spirit? Does the Bible tell us anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit indwell us? How does the Spirit lead us? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What does the Bible say about the gifts of the Spirit? And what are the sins against the Spirit? Naturally, I can't cover all of that in one sermon. These are aspects given to us from the Word of God. There are many scriptures, and we're going to take them one by one and analyze them and look at it with reference to the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26, if you have your Bible, let me hear you turning the pages if you want to. John 14, verse 26, here's what you got. This book, the Bible tells us. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He, right there, we've got an answer already concerning the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He, that is a divine person. And the Bible says that Jesus is the one that's speaking. He knows. There are three that bear record in heaven. Who are they? They're the Father, the Word, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. Where is He? He's with God. He's part of the Godhead. And look what Jesus said. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as He, showing that He indeed is one of the Godhead. In Acts 2, verse 38, there's a passage we quote a lot. It's in the Word of God, and the Spirit revealed it, and Luke wrote it down. Notice what it says. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be given to those who do what? Who repent and are baptized. I ask you a question from the Scriptures. If you've never repented, you've never been baptized, you do not have the Holy Spirit, the gift of that Holy Spirit. You do not have the blessings that come as a result of forgiveness that's found to us, revealed to us, in the Word of God, the Spirit. Titus 3, verse 5. Paul is writing, notice what he says. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. No. We're not saved by that. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration. When everyone is obeying the gospel of Christ, he is baptized. When Saul was told himself by Ananias in Acts 22 and verse 16, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. So baptism does what? Washes, cleanses. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit. How do you renew? Be renewed. How do we ourselves know more about the Spirit? By conforming our minds to His. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, after Paul talks about how that we're to make a sacrifice to God with our bodies, making a living sacrifice unto the Lord, said being born again. There we find that Paul tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. There's the term. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. The Spirit reveals the will of God. How do we remind? How are we renewed? By the Spirit as we read, study God's precious Word. In Acts 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power, this is Jesus speaking to His apostles, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. He gave power to the apostles. And notice what the Bible says. God said through His Son Jesus that they were to have these things given to them. Chapter 8, verse 26 and 27 is a verse you do not want to forget. We talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. How important it is to know and be filled with His Spirit. Here, notice what He says. God has provided something for us. What has He provided for us? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. You ever felt like you didn't know how to talk to God? Have you ever gotten to the point you don't know what to say? Look what the Bible says that God does through His Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit itself, and all the other translations, just almost all of them, it's Himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We find Luke telling us when you're baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do for us today? The Holy Spirit makes intercession in words that God can comprehend, which you and I cannot even speak. What a powerful word for the Spirit of God. John 16, 13, that I started out the sermon with, Jesus is speaking. You cannot read this book without being impressed with what Jesus said about the Spirit. Speaking to His apostles, He says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, where does truth come from? From the Holy Spirit. Because why? Jesus said, notice it. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He's talking about the apostles. Your apostles will be guided. Who's going to guide them? The Spirit. For He shall not speak of Himself. The words that He says comes from whom? Listen to it. But whatsoever He shall hear, words that God speaks through Him, those are the words that the Holy Spirit will give the apostles to guide them. And the Bible says, and then He will show you things to come. Number one, who is the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, what is the name that is spoken of by Jesus? The Spirit of truth. Number three, what was He going to do? He was going to come. What was His work? It was to guide the apostles into all truth. And I'm stopping right there. And I'm telling you this morning, brethren in the Lord Jesus Christ, better listen to that. When you take up a book today or you take up some kind of thing that you're going to do in the Church of Christ that is not according to the truth which has been once revealed by the Spirit who spoke as He was instructed to speak, friend, that's the most dangerous position you could possibly be in. You cannot change truth. You have no right to add to truth. You have no right to take away from truth. We have no right to substitute for it. It's exactly what it's always been. when Fred Evans preached for you folks for all those years? What did he use? The truth. Where did he get it? From the Word of God. Friends, that's what we've got to have. Yes, we're living in a modern society. But the things that were relevant when Brother Fred Evans preached are still just as applicable as they were then. For they are, when he preached the truth, he preached the truth. And here it is. You can't change it. Jesus says himself. He says his work was to guide the apostles into some truth. No, sir, he didn't say that. He said this work would be to guide the apostles into all truth. And when you find the finality of that, you see, my brethren, sisters in the Lord and friends, there's nothing different. It will last for ages. It'll always be applicable. It'll always appertain to any generation. That's why we preach. And Jack, that's why we're so thrilled. But last night, she obeyed the truth. Just exactly like I did years ago. Like some of you have seen so many. Why? Just heard the word, believed it, repented, confessed, and was baptized. And Matt just baptized. All truth. Now, when people begin to tell you you don't have to be baptized, you go to heaven, ask them where's that in the truth. When people tell you that you don't have to know anything, just simply remember this, God loves you. You're a member of the Lord's church, yes, but you are a member because of what? But the truth. What he said was what he heard to speak. And he told the apostles that they would be even told with things to come. Now in Ephesians 4, verse 30, we have a charge. Don't you grieve the Holy Spirit. You can do it. I can do it too. Quench the Spirit. Cut it out. Hurt Him. Look what Paul said in Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do not do it. Only a person can be grieved, and the Holy Spirit is a person. Who is he? He's one of the Godhead. Remember John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It makes people free now, just like it always did. You better not change it. Jesus in John 3, verse 5, is mentioned. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, unless the man be born of water and of the Spirit, as the Spirit directs him, he cannot, will not ever be in the kingdom of God. We can't enter it. Because the Spirit has revealed to us. That's what God teaches us to do. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 7. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We'll get to that in just a moment. In Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Where'd that power come from? From God. Through whom? Through His Spirit. You and I know where we're going. We know why. Because the Spirit has revealed it to us. Where's your power? Power is from God. In Luke 1, verse 35, in reference to Mary, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Deity God is like a family name. Our name McDaniel, Guy McDaniel, Tim McDaniel. And it's a name that's used in the Bible as deity. Now, every time I baptize anybody or I teach people to be baptized, here's what I always say. And there's a reason. When Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, go ye into all the world preach. He said, all power hath been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? Do you baptizing? How? By whose authority? Into what name? Baptize them in the name of the Father. The name of the Son. The name of the Holy Spirit. Charge. Go and do this. Why do we baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Exactly because the Spirit has revealed that's what Jesus wants. All together, the three make up deity, God Himself. He is indeed a person in the Godhead. Three distinct ones. You remember we talked about this, I guess, about a week or so ago. When Ananias' fire lied in Acts chapter 5, the seriousness of that lie is seen clearly when Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied to men, but here it is. You've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is called God. Because indeed He is one of the Godhead. As we mentioned in Matthew chapter 28. Now I want you to notice, and I don't have much time left, but I want you to know some things about the Scripture now concerning the Spirit. Beautiful passage. If you love the Bible, you'll love to read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 14. Where Paul writes to these brethren, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, and the love of God, the Father, and the communion, fellowship, of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. There it is. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we mentioned how that you must be very careful about the warnings from God. If we live in the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 25, we ought to walk in the Spirit. And then the great question, does the Holy Spirit dwell in us? If you got your Bible, look in 2 John verse 9. Listen to what John says. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. What is dependent upon us having God dwelling in us? The answer, the doctrine, the teaching of God. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. But he that abideth in the doctrine, now notice it, abiding in the doctrine, that's in the teaching, as both the Father and the Son. Where are they? Dwells in you through the Word. That's how the Holy Spirit dwells in us. His Word, what He tells us, we believe it. And yes, we walk in it. We believe Him. You remember how that the Holy Spirit was promised, God promised Him through Joel, back in Joel 2, verses 28 and 29. John the Baptist, while he was here, why? He said the Holy Spirit will come. What's He going to do, John? He's going to prepare people for the Son of God. And no wonder He came. And He came upon the disciples in Acts chapter 2. Now, when we look at the Bible, you have three or four things here in conclusion this morning that will tie in with all of those. Number one, John 16, verses 12 and 13, He will guide you into all truth. That's the work of the Spirit. And friend, let me tell you, He did it. And that's why I just emphasize so important for all of us to teach and walk in His way. John 14, 26, He would teach them all things. Not some truth, but all of it. John 14, 26, He would remind them what Jesus had already told the apostles, He'd bring it back to their minds. And number four, He would bear witness together with the apostles. On different occasions, the Spirit would speak directly. As a matter of fact, in the great gathering in the book of Acts chapter 15, when they were discussing whether or not a man had to be circumcised in order to be a child of God, in the conclusion they told him what, and the Holy Spirit agreed with that conclusion. Yes, he convicts the world and sin and righteousness and judgment. How does he do it? Through the preaching of the word. Let me hasten to add, you will not be forgiven, according to God, for sin against the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. God's promised us what? Through the Spirit, forgiveness. He says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from our sin. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have no sin, we're liars. No wonder John adds to that in the next chapter, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, let me tell you. If we don't pay any attention to what the Spirit tells us to do for us to wash away our sins, and we die in our sins, there's nothing else. There's no forgiveness. None. Why? Because God's not going to send someone else. He makes that clear. People who die who have not been washed in the blood, people who die who are not members of the Lord's church, people who die in their sins, that's where they'll be. There can be no forgiveness. If you reject what the Spirit says for you to do in order to be forgiven, and you die like that, how can you call on God? You can't call on Jesus. You know, because you have rejected sin against the Spirit. Like you've rejected Him, what He's told us to do. Boy, that's why we just got a job, don't we? To try to get everybody to know what the Spirit has revealed to the apostles that we read in the Word of God and tell men and women everywhere. Here's what it is. It's in the book. Read it. Study it. And most importantly, obey it. God bless you. Let's keep studying this book. Let's live by this book. It ought to cheer us up to know that this old short life that soon will be over, someday we can hear our Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. That's why this morning I'm calling upon you through the word of the Lord, come unto Jesus, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and Jesus, I'll give you rest. If you're here this morning, you've never been baptized. You got a good example from last night. Why not now? The water is here. Everything necessary. Don't reject what the Spirit has revealed. And if you're a child of God and you have been living faithfully in the service of the Lord, right? You got to do something about that. Ask God to forgive you. He's promised to do that. And just think of a wonderful joy that you have knowing that all things are well with your soul. As we studied the Bible together this morning, I hope it's impressed us with what we talked about in my class in the auditorium. Jeremiah chapter 44, in verse 28, the people have been told not to go to Egypt. They went. The people said, we're going to do what we want to do. They wouldn't hearken to what God said. But in that verse, if you'll circle in your Bible, in verse 28, here's what God said. I will do what I told you I would do. And then we will know whose words are right. Will they be my words? Or their words. And that answer, you know, there will be God's words. This morning, if you're not ready to meet God, this morning, if you need to obey, the gospel will be restored. This morning, we know we have this opportunity. Won't you obey Him? Won't you do that right now while together we stand and while we sing to encourage you?